does something awesome with it. Yep, he does. He's good at doing that. So amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, let's go and take our Bibles this morning, and we'll be in Romans 1. We're going to a little bit of a hiatus from our series in Luke still. We'll get back to that, Lord willing, next week. But this morning we'll be in Romans chapter 1. So whenever you find your place there, if you wouldn't mind, please, to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter number 1. There, say amen. Amen. Yeah, nice job. Romans chapter 1, we'll start our reading in verse number 8. Paul says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but I was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So the message this morning is this: a church on a mission. A church on a mission. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already enjoyed. Lord, just your presence and being with your people and just the praise that we were able to be a part of to you, lifting your name up, and then, Lord, using the quartet and how you've worked in our hearts already. We're just so thankful. Now, God, we're excited to hear from you this morning. I pray that you be with me as I declare your word. Help us, God, to be ready to hear from you, have our hearts open. Lord, as Jesus, your Son, said, if those that have ears, Lord, let us hear. Let us make a decision to pay attention to your word this morning and hear from you. Be ready to change. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Thank you very much for standing. So a church on a mission. A mission is defined as a specific task with which a person or a group is charged. So you give somebody a mission, and that's their task. And so normally a mission is a military term. A soldier or an army will be given a directive from the commander, and that is then their mission. Okay? And if everyone accomplishes their mission, then there's a good chance they win the war. And if everyone decides to not follow their mission, then there's a good chance they get wiped. Right? This is how it goes. The phrase "on a mission" is a term that's been used in our everyday just lingo. And someone who is on a mission is characterized as a person who has intensity, who's focused, who has purpose, who has resolve about their mission. In fact, Merriam-Webster.com defines the phrase. Yeah, you can define words and phrases on this website, apparently. And it says, "Undertaking a task that one considers to be a very important duty." Now that's, listen to that again, are you ready? It says, "Undertaking a task," here's the key, "that one considers to be a very important duty." And so when someone is on a mission, they've been given a directive, okay? They've been given a mission, but there's a difference, listen, there's a difference between having a mission and being on a mission. Are you following me? And so someone who's on a mission has been given a mission, but then they recognize how important that mission is. You see? And because they've made that directive, they've made that mission important in their life, then they will focus on it. And they'll do all that they can to accomplish the mission. You see? You following? It's like when I ask Myla, our four-year-old, I ask her to go find her shoes, because if you find your shoes, then we can go to the park, okay? And whenever I say, Mila, go find your shoes so we can go to the park, she has received the mission. But she understands also the importance of the mission, you see? And so she's focused and she's determined to find those shoes at all costs. And she'll flip the house upside down until she finds those shoes. And she'll be looking for those shoes until she finds those shoes. She's not going to get distracted. She's not going to start looking for the shoes and then here's a toy. No, no, no. Because shoes means park. And toy is not as important. I've decided, Mila says in her heart, it's very important that I find these shoes. And she's on a mission. Yeah. But for some reason, at other times, she's not quite as focused. We give each of our girls chores every morning. And it's okay. Their psyche's not hurt. Okay. It's good for them. And so we give them chores every morning. And one of Mila's chores is to clear off and wipe the table after breakfast. And so when we remind her to wipe off the table after breakfast, she has definitely received the mission. But I wouldn't exactly describe her as on a mission. She immediately becomes extremely tired. Oh, Dad. Daddy, I'm tired. It was so hard because I woke up and I slept for like, 10 hours. And then I ate breakfast and it was a lot. Tired. And she becomes somehow forgetful. And she forgets that we asked her to do that. She forgot. I forgot you said that. Well, she never forgets the shoes, the park thing, but the wiping up it. Oh, I forgot. You know, or she forgets how to do it, even though she's been doing that exact thing for weeks and weeks. And so it's very strange. She has some kind of medical problem in her mind whenever she's asked to do her chores. No, actually, she's totally capable, isn't she? She's just as capable as clearing off the table as she is on putting her shoes on. The only difference is that she decided that in that moment, finding her shoes was very important. And then whenever we asked her to clean off the table in that moment, she decided that's not a big deal. I don't really need to clean off the table. You see? And that's the difference. Listen, that's the difference between having a mission and being on a mission. Okay, so we're a church on a mission, I hope. I want us to be. I guess it's up to us, isn't it? If we're going to have a mission or we're going to be on a mission. Because listen, the problem is not that we haven't received a mission. Valley Avenue Baptist Church has a mission. Well, what's the mission? Well, the mission is, well, first of all, let's talk about this. What's a church? So if we're a church that has a mission and we want to be a church on a mission, first, what's a church? Well, a church is, it's called, in the Greek, it's an ekklesia. It's literally a compound word. It means called out assembly. And so we are a called out assembly of believers. We are specifically called out as members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and we have a mission. We have been given a purpose. And so a church is an ecclesia is a called out assembly of people to do a specific purpose. And the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church are specifically called out from this area, from this Falls City surrounding local area, and the members of our church have been specifically called out by God, and we assemble together, and we have a purpose. We have a mission. Well, what is the mission? Great question. You guys are really helping me out this morning. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We can turn there if you'd like. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's what is called the Great Commission. It's the purpose that Jesus gave to the church. His first church. Now, we said this, that Jesus started his first church with his apostles, and he died on the cross for our sin, and he rose again the third day, and then shortly afterward ascended to heaven. But between him rising from the grave and defeating sin for us, between that and him heading to heaven, he gathered his church together, his first church, and he gave them a mission. And he says, listen, guys, I'm going to be leaving. You know this, Jesus says. He told them over and over he's going to have to leave. But he says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back for you. He said that in John 15. And so I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back. But what I need you to do, church, is to continue what I've been doing until I come back. And so here's what it is. Here's the mission, church, from the time I leave until the time I come back. And it's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So Jesus says, I have the power, I have the ability, but more, I have the authority from the Father, and it's all been given to me. And now on my authority, I'm going to give it to you. Listen, Jesus gave his authority to the local church. That's how this is God's plan to carry out his work, is through the local churches in this world. And so Jesus says, I have been given authority from the Father, and I'm giving that authority to you. The authority of Christ has been placed in the hands of a church family, of the local church. And so, church, we have this authority from Christ to do these things. And here it is. Go ye therefore. Therefore is the authority that I've given you. And do this, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What's the end of the world? That's when he comes back. You see? And so you do this from when I leave until I come back. Well, what is it? Well, he said that his church, with his authority, their mission is to teach all nations. What does that mean? Spread the gospel to every nation. The gospel's here. What I've done, I died on the cross, I rose from the grave, Christ says, and I've defeated sin, and I've made a way for that man to be right with God. I've done that. I've paid the penalty. I've made it possible for sins to be forgiven. And you know this, and Israel knows this, but we need to take this gospel to every nation. We need to teach it to all people. Everyone needs to know the gospel. Everyone needs to know what I've done. And so teach all nations. And then baptize those who are converted. Those who have accepted the gospel. Those you have taught and have gladly received, as we found in Acts 2:41, that gladly received the message and they received the forgiveness that Christ has offered. When they are saved, then next thing you need to do is baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And what that means is this, is that they need to make a public profession. Baptism doesn't save anybody. No, that was in the accepting of the gospel. When we accept the gospel, now we're supposed to publicly profess that to the world through baptism. And so, and another part of that is when they become baptized and they become a member of that church, right? That's what we saw also in Acts 2:41, that they gladly received the word, were baptized, and then they were added to the church, and they get to be a part of what you're doing, you see? And then we disciple them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so those who are saved and those who have been then baptized, now you need to teach them everything. Yeah, they know the gospel. When someone is saved, they need to know a little bit, don't they? That you can't just get saved without any knowledge. You need to know what Christ did. You need to know that Jesus died, rose again, and paid for their sin. They need to know that we all need to know that we're sinners, that we deserve hell forever. We deserve the judgment of God. We need to know, though, that because God loves us and he knows we deserve his judgment, that God became a man. And God died for you so that you don't have to face his judgment. And he took your judgment on the cross. This is the gospel. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from God's judgment that we all deserve. God does not want to judge anyone. He wants to save them from his judgment. And so God doesn't want to judge, but he will. But he will one day judge all sin, and he wants for all man. His will is that none should perish. His will is that all should come to repentance. God wants every man to escape his judgment, and that's why he died. This is the gospel. And so you need to know that to be saved, but then after that, you need to learn everything else. Listen, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not the only thing in this book. God's given us the entire Bible, and we need to teach the whole counsel of God. We can't just only teach you the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. No. Now, the gospel is foundational to everything else we do, but we need to teach you the whole counsel of God. If you only just preach the gospel over and over and over and over and over, what you'll have is a lot of anemic sheep. You'll have people who are saved but never grow. And so Jesus says you need to teach them the gospel, help them to be saved, help them to know how that they can be saved, and then baptize them that are saved. But then those that are saved and baptized, you need to teach them everything else. And that's why we go book by book, verse by verse, line by line, because we want to preach the entire counsel of God. Okay, so that's the mission. The mission is to reach the world with the gospel and then teach them everything that God intends for them to know. It's to reach people, but really deeper than that is to make disciples out of all nations, right? Our goal is for people to be saved from their sin and then grow in grace. This is the mission. And this is for all people, not just the ones in this building. All people. Our mission is to reach all people with the gospel and give them a chance so that they can have their sins forgiven and be a disciple of Christ and live the life that God intends for them to live. And so really the mission of Valley Avenue Baptist Church is to preach the Word of God, to preach the gospel of Christ, to introduce the lost to God and what God has done for them, to show them their need of salvation. And Paul will go on after this for four more chapters to explain that all of mankind is hopelessly lost in their sin. All of mankind deserves the wrath of God, but God sent His Son to take that very wrath Himself on the cross. And the gospel is the power of God into salvation, Paul says. The gospel is the only way that man can be made right with God. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And you can't do anything to earn God's favor. No, the only way you can be made right with God is because of what Christ did. And all you have to do is accept what Christ did. No amount of good works can save you. Baptism cannot save you. Church membership cannot save you. It is only by faith in the blood of Christ that can forgive your sins. And it's the stated mission of the local church to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that is the mission of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, then that means you, as a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, that's your mission. Listen up here. If the mission of the local church is to preach the gospel, that'd be us, right? Valley Avenue Baptist Church is a local church that God has placed in this area. Well, what does that mean? What's the local church? You! Not me. Not me only, me too, but you too. The members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, God has called us. God has called us to deliver the gospel. Yeah. That's our mission. And it's clear from the scripture. Yeah. Let's think about it this way. If you're saved this morning, just think of this. If you're saved this morning, why did God leave you here? Seriously, think about it. If you're saved, why did God just not take you and bring you right to heaven? Is it so that you can worship God? Well, yes. Hey, Brother Tim, can you turn me down a smidge? Thanks. Yes, He left you here so you can worship Him. Yeah, that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to worship Him. God wants you to give Him the honor He deserves. Yes, that's part of it. But listen, you're going to worship Him better in heaven, aren't you? Is it so you can praise God? Is it so you can praise God? He leave you here to praise God. Well, part of what He wants you to do while you're here is to praise God. But He didn't leave you here so that you can praise Him, because when you get to heaven, you'll praise Him better. Is it so you can live a godly life? Well, I don't need to say any more, do I? You'll probably do that better in heaven. So why did He leave you here? In some ways, it'd be better if we just got saved and went straight to heaven. We wouldn't make any more mistakes. We would just worship Him and praise Him and serve Him perfectly. But He left you here. Why? To tell others. That's the only reason He would have left you here. Primarily, you are on this earth to tell others about the gospel. It's your mission. We all have a mission. And that's it. That's the mission. And so it's not a question of if you have a mission. It's a question of, are you on a mission? Have you recognized your mission and made it of utmost importance? I mean, more important than anything else. Have you determined that nothing will distract you from the mission? That's being on a mission. And Paul was on a gospel mission. Yeah. Paul received the mission. Paul understood how important it was, and Paul became focused on accomplishing his mission. Look at the phrase in the middle of verse 9 in our text. He says, "For God is my witness," and then he says this, "whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Now that's what we call a parenthetical phrase, okay? Don't hurt yourself. I know it's a lot of syllables, right? But it's a parenthetical phrase. All that means is this, is that that phrase we just read, it can be taken out and verse 9 would still make sense, right? Like read verse 9 without the parenthetical phrase. "For God is my witness that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." It makes sense. See, I mean, logically, that part doesn't need to be in there to make sense. And so why would Paul feel the need to insert that phrase? It's because that phrase is the middle of everything that he's talking about. It's the central idea of this part of Scripture, because it links what Paul's doing in verse 9 with, in verse 8 with what he's doing with the rest of our text today. And so before we look at the rest of our text, let's pay attention close to that phrase, "whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." And so Paul said he's serving. Now, he says, "whom I serve." Whom is God, right? "For God is my witness, whom?" So Paul is serving God. And so serve means this, that Paul wasn't accomplishing his own mission. No, he was serving. He didn't decide his mission. If you've been given a mission, you didn't decide the mission. The commander did. Paul wasn't on his own mission. He was serving God, his master. Yeah. And he says, "whom I serve with my spirit." And so listen, Paul was fulfilling his God-given mission with all of his being, with my spirit. He didn't just have a mission, he was on a mission. And he gave himself to the mission. And the mission is the gospel, right? In the gospel of his Son, the mission from God was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was telling the Romans that his gospel mission was his passion, and he wholeheartedly gave himself to accomplishing that mission, spreading the gospel. And listen, our gospel mission, you, if you're saved, you have been given a mission, and that mission ought to be your passion. It needs to be your passion. It needs to be number one. Number one. Everything else, you can do other things, and you can enjoy other parts of life. And you have other responsibilities. You have your family, you have your work, and you have all these things. But I'm telling you that the first thing is telling others about the gospel. That's our mission. That's what we give our whole selves to. We're always about it. Even as we're with our family and we're being the father or the mother or whatever that we need to be, we're still thinking about the mission. And as we're at work and we're doing and we're laboring, and we're not taking the boss's time to do this, but we are thinking about it, and we are thinking about how that we can be a good employee, but most of all, be on our mission. Because there are people around you that if they died today would wake up in hell forever. And there's nothing more important than that. Nothing. Nothing. It's our mission. Yeah. We have now the message that Paul was given to deliver, the gospel. And it's our calling as believers to deliver that message to those who haven't heard. We need to be on a gospel mission. And so I guess I could just ask you, have you allowed anything to distract you from the mission? Has something become more important than God and spreading the gospel? How do you know something's more important? Well, whenever you put the two together, which one do you choose? I'm just being honest this morning. You know what's more important when you put the two things together and the one you when they clash, which one do you choose? It's you cannot tell me the one you choose is not more important. It is. You have decided that is more important. And so are you on a mission? Are you on a mission? And by the way, there's an umbrella of life that we can enjoy underneath the umbrella of the mission. We just can't compromise the mission. See? For the devil, come tonight because we're going to talk about purple pears. And that's what we learned about at camp. And if you don't know what that is, that's okay. Just come back tonight. But here's what I'm telling you is that the devil is good at putting things in front of us that otherwise might be okay. I mean, but then here's what he says. But this is so good. It's so good that it's better than the mission. That God has us over here, but look. And he makes it look so good. And he makes it look even right. And what he's doing, the devil's been at this for ages. And he makes things look more important than God and his way and his word and his gospel. And he makes it look good. And when you take a bite, oh, it's so good. But it doesn't end good because it's distracted you from the mission. See? And there are a lot of things on this earth that can be good in their right place, but the devil is good at taking God out, putting him over here. Oh yeah, God's still part of my life. But this is now the mission. And really, the gospel and church and God, that's just part of me accomplishing my mission. No. The devil did that in your heart, not God. God deserves to be here. He's the mission. Everything else revolves around. And listen, and if something cannot revolve around it, then it's out. Go find another galaxy. We're revolving around God and His Word and the mission. Or we're not. Paul was on a mission. God and His Word and the Gospel was his passion. It was his mission. And his mission made him thankful for the work of the gospel. Look at verse 8. He says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Paul was thankful because the faith of the saints in Rome was being proclaimed throughout the world. Paul was thankful for the extension of the gospel to a place where Christ was not known. When Paul heard that the gospel was being spread, he was excited. He was thankful. If Paul was thankful as the apostle to the Gentiles, the phrase, through Jesus Christ, he's thankful through Jesus Christ. It's suggesting his apostolic authority. And so as the apostle of the Gentiles, his passion was to see the Gentiles reach with the gospel. And although he couldn't directly connect to Rome, and he couldn't directly bring the gospel to Rome, he felt like part of his mission was being accomplished because the Gentiles in Rome were being reached with the gospel. And so even though he wasn't a part of it, he was thankful that the gospel was being spread in Rome. He was excited about that. Yeah. And our gospel mission, listen, our gospel mission should make us thankful for the work of the gospel. We should never grow tired or apathetic of the message of the gospel. Okay, he's preaching the gospel again. I've heard this, Pastor. I know. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. He rose again. He went to heaven. I know. And if you have that attitude, that means you're not on a gospel mission. Because, yeah, you might know the gospel, but first of all, you need to be reminded of what God did for you. But second of all, there are people in this room that maybe haven't heard it, or people in this room that maybe have heard it, but it hadn't clicked yet, and they need to hear it again. And we're thankful. And listen, we should be excited when we hear that a missionary or a church planter is bringing the gospel to people throughout the world that we're not able to reach. And on Sunday nights, Brother Steve gets up here and he gives report of missionaries that we get to be a part of. And you should be excited to hear that missionaries are taking the gospel to places that you've never been to and you'll never be able to reach. But you get to be a part of that because you can give to missions. And the money that you give to missions supports these men and women and these families who are taking your mission to another land. That should be awesome. That should be exciting to you. There should be nothing more exciting to you than in hearing about the fact that the gospel is spreading throughout the world, and that men and women who otherwise would die and go to hell are hearing the gospel and being saved. That should fire you up. And if you're sitting here bored, like, oh yeah, he's fired up, I'm not. Well, then that means, here's what that means. You are not on a mission. You don't understand the eternal ramifications of the gospel. Souls will spend eternity forever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. And if you're saved, you get to spend forever and ever and ever with God. And that should be more important to you than anything on this whole planet. But here's the other thing. Those who have not been saved will spend forever in torments away from God. They will. Whether it's important to you or not, those who have not had their sins forgiven by the shed blood of Christ and may die in that condition will spend eternity in hell forever. And there won't ever be, there's not going to be any abolishing of their soul. They're not just going to be non-existent anymore. No, Jesus is very clear. Forever and ever, eternal damnation. And if that bores you, you're not on a mission. That should fire you up, because people need to hear. And we should be excited when people hear. If we are not excited about the work of the gospel, what that means is we've been distracted from our mission. We've been distracted. We've let other things that don't matter take its place. And those things maybe at first weren't a big deal, but and you, like I said, underneath the umbrella of the mission, there's a lot of fun to be had, and there's a lot of opportunities to be had, there's a lot of work to be done, but whenever the gospel is not exciting to you anymore because you're thinking about this, because you're thinking about your relationship, or because you're thinking about your work, or you're thinking about your hobby, or you're thinking about your sports that you're playing, or you're thinking about your video games, whatever it is, if you're bored by the gospel because you're thinking about stuff other than the gospel, whatever that is, has taken the place of the mission that God has given you. And it has become an idol. And you're wasting your time on it. So Paul was thankful. And then, he was thankful when he heard other people being a part of spreading the gospel. But he was also, his gospel mission made him pumped to be a part of it. He was thankful to watch other people serve the Lord and spread the gospel. He was excited about that, but he was also desperately wanting to be a part of it. Look at the end of verse 9. He says that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Why was he praying? Why? Because he was making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Paul wanted to come see them. He wanted to be there with them. Why? Because they were spreading the gospel and he wanted to be a part of it. He says, now, let's see. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Paul wanted to be with his brothers in the fight. He wanted to be there. He saw his brothers there in Rome doing the work, spreading the gospel. And he said, man, I'm thankful for that. But man, I would sure like to be there. Wouldn't you like to be in Germany or South Africa or other places that we have mission, England? Wouldn't you like to be there and see what God's doing? Paul wanted to be there. He wanted to be a part of it. And Paul wasn't content just being happy that other people were spreading the gospel. Paul wanted to be a part of it. And I'm thankful we have people in this church who are serving the Lord and giving their heart and serving God with their spirit, and they're putting their life into God, and they put God in the middle and everything else is surrounding. And if anything else gets in the way, they say, nope, that can go because I'm going to follow God. And as a pastor, I see that and I'm excited. I'm thankful that God's working in your life. And I hope you are, and I hope you see people like that and you're excited and you're thankful for them serving the Lord, but you need to jump in and be doing that too. It's not enough that you're excited that other people are reaching people in Fall City. You ought to have a desire to be a part of it. That's what a gospel mission mind will do. Be a part of it. Yeah. So he wanted to be there with his brothers. He wanted to serve them, and then them serve him. He said that we may be comforted together. That I can help. I can encourage you in the work, and you can encourage me in the work. That's how it is, right? We come to church and we encourage each other. For what? For the mission. And then he says this. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto. Why? That I might have some fruit among you also. I want to help you reach people, but hey, I want a piece of that. I want to reach people too. I want to be a part of reaching people with the gospel. I want fruit. I hope you want fruit. I hope you want to be a part of seeing other people saved. And if you have no desire, I'm not saying that you have the ability yet. I get it. There's some things about this that's difficult. But, you can just tell people what happened to you. That's a witness. You just tell people if you know what happened to you, then you know what you can tell others. And so you might not have it all figured out. You can be a little bit part of it. But I get it that it takes training and it takes time and development and stuff. And so I'm not asking you, I'm not hoping that you have led lots of people to the Lord. But I do hope that you have a desire to get some fruit for yourself and teach the gospel to others. I hope you have that desire. There's nothing more important than it. Paul wanted to prove himself. Because in verse 14, he says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks to the barbarians, both to the wise to the unwise. He says, I don't care who it is. I don't care what their lot in life is. I don't care what class they're in. I don't care what race they're in. I don't care what they've been through. I don't care what they've done. I am a debtor, Paul says. I am a debtor to people. I owe humanity to tell them the gospel. And it's not like humanity has done anything for Paul. God did. And God placed on Paul a debt to tell others. He felt like he was a debtor. When you're a debtor, you pay them first. Hopefully, you become more of a debtor. When you're in debt, you pay that person first. Paul said, I'm a debtor to humanity. And my first objective is to spread the gospel. I'm a debtor. Listen this morning, you're a debtor. You're a debtor. If you've received the gospel of Christ, you are indebted to humanity to tell them about it. You're a debtor. It's a mission. It's a mission. That was Paul's mission, what he wanted. And our gospel mission should give us a desire to be a part of the work of the gospel. We should take our calling to spread the gospel seriously. Like Paul, we should give our entire being to the gospel mission that God has called us to. We need to be involved with serving and giving in our local church and endeavoring to reach Paul City and the surrounding areas with the gospel. It's our mission. It's the mission of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And so it is your mission and it is my mission to reach this place with the gospel. We need to be involved with telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ and inviting them to come to church and hear more about it. We need to be involved in supporting missionaries as they reach people with the gospel in places we can't get to. And if we don't have a desire to be a part of the work of the gospel, then we have been distracted from our mission. If we don't have a desire to encourage those who are doing the work of the gospel, then we have been distracted from our mission. If we allow race or culture or standing or societal things or what people have done or what they look like, if we've allowed that to hinder us from reaching them with the gospel, then we have been distracted from our mission. So what's your mission? You have a mission. It's to spread the gospel. And like Paul, listen, we need to give our entire being to it. Maybe you're here this morning and You haven't started the mission yet. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what the gospel is, but you don't know how you can tell others because you haven't even received it yourself. And there's some in this room that know the gospel and they haven't accepted it yet. And God loves you, and God knows you, and God understands who you are. God knows what you've done. God knows the thoughts that you've had. God knows who you are. He knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. And listen, He loves you anyways. God knows you deserve hell forever. You can sit here and pretend like you don't think you do, but in your heart, you know you do. And God knows you do. And you don't deserve it. But God became a man and died for you. He died for you. God did. The creator of the universe, who really should judge all of us. But He doesn't want to. In fact, He did everything He could so that He doesn't have to. And He died for you. And He took His wrath on the cross for you. And He suffered and He bled. The creator of the universe suffered more pain than you'll ever suffer through. And more ridicule and mocking and false accusations and all of that and humiliation. God of the universe did that for you because He wants your sins to be forgiven. And all you have to do now is ask Him to forgive you. By faith, understanding who you are, understanding what you deserve, understanding what Christ did, and if you have by faith accept that you deserve the wrath of God, and you accept and believe that Jesus died for you, and you don't want your sins to drag you to hell forever, you want to be right with God, you want to follow God, then here's all you have to do. Ask. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said to the woman at the well, the one who had been with five other partners, and the one she's with now, she's not even married to, and she was living a rotten and nasty life, one that many of us wouldn't go around, but Jesus knew her. Jesus knew what she did. Jesus loved her, and Jesus went to her, and he said this to her, "If you understood who I was, if you understood the gift that I had and the water that I want to give you, then you would ask, and I would give it." And listen this morning, if you understand who Jesus is, and you understand that He died for your sins, you understand you deserve hell forever, you understand that Jesus took the wrath of God for you, and all you have to do is ask, you would ask. So ask. That's all Jesus asks. Repent of your way, put your faith in His blood, and ask Him to forgive you, and He'll give you living water that you will never thirst. Listen, you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied in your soul. You were created to be right with God. You were created to have fellowship with Him. And you're probably walking around feeling empty and purposeless if you don't have that. And I'm telling you, when Jesus gives you that, when He forgives you of your sin and you're right with God, Jesus says you'll never thirst. Filled, satisfied, the life God wants to be. But if you have been saved, then you're on a mission. Maybe not. But you do have a mission. If you're saved, you have a mission. And the commander has called to you. And he said, "Hey, here's your mission. Spread the gospel to those who you know. And you over there, you spread the gospel to who you know. And you over there, spread the gospel to you know. And you over there, spread the gospel to who you know." And if everyone decides to take their mission seriously, and everyone decides to spread the gospel to the ones they know, then we'll win the war. But too many soldiers have decided, my mission's not a big deal. Let them fight. I'm okay. And we're losing. We're losing souls. Because you need to be on mission. He's giving it to us. Let's get on. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for loving us more than we deserve. Thank you for dying for us, although we don't deserve that. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to come to you. And Lord, thank you for the ones who are on a mission to reach us. God, each and every one in this room is reached by somebody on a mission. And we're thankful for them. We benefited from that. So Lord, help us to jump on and be on a mission. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction to them right now, that they would understand what they need to do. They wouldn't care about what anyone else thought of them. They would come up from their seat and come to this altar and accept the living water that you offer. So we love you. Bless you, my friend. Let's stand together.